I'm Phil C.
And I'm Lynn.
And together,
we're Roman Oz.
Real interviews.
With real people.
On location.
With a great mix of Aussie music.
As requested by the people we interview.
Follow us on Facebook.
Or check us out, allaussieradio.com.au. All interviews are live.
And on location.
And may vary in audio quality from segment to segment.
So, Phil, what's on the show this week?
Well, Lynn, we've only got two guests on the program today.
Right.
Yes, okay, two of them. The first guests are Judy and David.
Yes, and they manage the Option RV Caravan Owners Facebook page.
Absolutely they do. And we first spoke to them about a year ago.
Oh, really? That long?
That long ago. They were organising an event.
Yep.
And that was at the Opal Caravan Park in Lightning Ridge. And they were on our program last week.
Right. Yes.
You
they
remember?
Were. Yes.
Because it was our 100th show. And I just decided that because I love Lightning Ridge so much and they were so fascinating to speak to,
yep,
Judy and David, I wanted to just sort of touch base with them and find out how the group's been going.
Oh, right. And how many more members?
So things have slowed down a little bit for them, they said, because COVID had kind of put a bit of a hammer on things.
Yep.
People were ordering caravans, and because of the lack of parts and labour, because of the COVID, that things were slowing up. But they said it's starting to now sort of pick up as far as membership's concerned. Vans are being delivered, and they're getting ready to do another big event next year.
Oh, how exciting.
Next year. Okay.
Yep.
They wouldn't tell me where it was going to be at. They said, this is top secret.
All right. Okay.
So they're our first set of guests. And then straight after that, we've got Ken Wilson.
Ah, yes. And he's from Truck Friendly Caravan and Road Safety Program.
That's right. Now, he is discussing something very important that I asked him about today. And I've got to tell you, this is going to open up a can of worms.
Yes.
It's going to open up a can of worms, and we're either going to get bombarded with complaints. And if you do want to let us know, listeners, you can email us at allaussieradio@gmail.com.
Correct.
Now, that's where you can put in your complaints if you're not happy when we discuss this subject. You know, you may not want to get a license to tow your caravan. I don't know, but it's a very important subject. He's going to talk to us about it. And incidentally, Lynn, if they do have any inquiries about anything related to travel, or if there's something they'd like to discuss, all they have to do is email us at that, and we'll find out. We'll get the answers for them. So apart from these, before we actually start the program, I've been getting a lot of people saying, we want to hear more country music on your travel show.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I do always play the music as requested by the people that interview, but, you know, I've decided to put a couple of songs in.
Right, okay.
Because they're saying, hey, how come you only play what they want to hear? What about playing something that we might like to hear? So people have been asking me for country music.
Okay, so what have you selected?
Well, I've selected a couple of songs. First of all, one by John Williamson.
Yes, he's always a favourite.
He's a favourite by everybody. All the nomads love him travelling around this great country of ours. And the one I selected, they just said John Williamson. And he's got like 50 albums, 60 albums.
Yep.
He's been around forever. And I selected one from what I think is probably one of his most highly recognised and probably most popular, because, hey, True Blue.
Yep.
So it's from that album, Mally Boy.
Right.
And the song that I selected from that is a number called Raining on the Rock.
Oh, nice. That's very good song, that one.
Beautiful song. You know, we went out there and we never got any rain on
the
rock,
did
we?
No, we didn't.
We got a lot of wind.
Yes.
Almost got blown off the rock. But no raining on the rock, that's for sure. Anyway, and then the next one that I've selected, and this is a sort of song that anybody can sing to, and we've been there.
Yep.
And anybody can sing along to this particular song. It's a number called The Road to Gundagai.
Oh, yes. Yep. Good song.
Good song. Everybody can sing that around the campfire, and we've been there, the dog on the tucker box.
Correct.
Absolutely. So there's two country songs that I thought I'd throw in because people are asking for more country.
Wonderful.
All right. Now, Lynn, apart from a great selection of music,
as requested by the people we interview,
what do you think, Lynn?
On with the show.
Thank you.
crystal red to burgundy and spinifex to gold. We've just come out of the Mulga where the plains forever roll. And Albert Namajira has painted all the scenes, and a shower has changed the luster of his land. And it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country, and I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. And it's raining on the rock, what an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me. Everlasting daisies and a beautiful desert rose, where does their beauty come from? Heaven knows. I could ask the wedge-tail, but he's away too high. I wonder if he understands it's wonderful to fly. And it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country, and I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. And it's raining on the rock, what an almighty sight to see. Wishing on a postcard that you were here with me. It cannot be described with a picture, mesmerizing colors of the alders, or the grandeur of the rock. Uluru has power, and it's raining on the rock in a beautiful country, and I'm proud to travel this big land like an Aborigine. Raining on the rock, what an almighty sight to see. And I'm wishing on a postcard that you were here with me.
John Williamson's Raining on the Rock, from probably his most favourite recognised album, I would think, Mally Boy. All right, continuing on with the Aussie music before we get our first couple of guests on the phone lines, I'm going to play you another track. This one's by Slim Dusty and Joy McKean. This will get your toes tapping, people. It's called The Road to Gundagai.
Along the road to Gundagai, where the gum trees are growing and the Murrumbidgee's flowing beneath the sunny sky, there's my mother
G'day, listeners. Phil C here. This is Roman Oz, and on the phones with us today, we couldn't catch up with them live as we normally do. It is Judy and David from Option RV Caravan Owners Group. How are you both going today, guys?
Hi, Phil. Really good.
Excellent.
Going great. Thanks, Phil.
Good, my friends. It's good to catch up with you again. It's been a while. The last time we spoke, and just to let you know, I'm not sure if you're aware of it, but last week was our 100th show, and I had you guys, I did a repeat with you guys on that program last week, because the last time we spoke was probably a year ago almost. Time flies. You were at Lightning Ridge with your Option RV Caravan Owners Group, and you had this, what would you call it? Is it a rally? What is it when you get 100 vans together?
Yes, our yearly event was at Lightning Ridge in October. And last year.
So it's,
and yes, that's when we spoke last year.
Absolutely. Now it's been almost a year then. September, yes, indeed. August, yeah, 10 months. Where has the time gone for you guys? What have you been up to and your group? First of all, you two, have you been doing lots of travel since we spoke last?
Not a whole lot of travel. We've had some personal stuff going on, so we haven't been able to travel. But the group's going really well. We've got about 1,600 members in the group now.
Okay.
We get about 15 members a week coming in, and we've got about an 85% engagement. So that's really good. We've got members travelling around Western Australia, the Nullarbor, Darwin and North Queensland. And they're sending back all their travel tips and photos, which is really fantastic.
Excellent.
We took a group. We at the end of the event, I had a meeting with a few of our regular members and asked them if there was anything they wanted to do this year.
Right.
That was different. So the feedback that I got was they'd like to have more get-togethers, smaller group get-togethers in the areas that they live.
Okay.
So because we live in North Queensland, it's a bit hard for us to organise it, but we've had some fantastic members get together.
Yep.
They've had about, I think, six throughout the year. We've got little family groups that get together some weekends. Mm-hmm. We've got another couple in the group that have done a couple of get-togethers down in southeast Queensland. And they're really good. They get about 16 to 30 vans at those.
Yes.
And there's another one coming up in October that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But Dave and I took a group of half a dozen, I think, that lived up this way and some that were travelling in the area up to a little place at Atherton called Bernardio.
Bernardio.
Bernardio's Nature Camp.
Oh.
It's a fantastic little place.
Nature Camp. Now, hang on. You Option RV people aren't running around with no clothes on now, are you?
No, they've got lots of beautiful animals. They feed at night.
Right.
And not nature rip.
Yes.
Nature but, camp. Yes, go on.
But yeah, it's a great little area to stop and just check out the tablelands. There's so much stuff to see there with the waterfalls and everything.
So what's the name of this place? Again, I might have to ring those guys up because I'm not going to be up that way for a while. What's the name of the place? And I'm going to see if I can't ring them up and maybe we'll do a bit of a follow-up for anybody who's interested in nature camps. And I know what you mean. It's nature as in...
It's
called Bernardio.
C-O-N-A-R-D-I-O-S.
It's RV and Nature Camp.
RV.
Okay. Or RV and Nature Park. It's situated about halfway between Atherton and Yungaburra.
Okay.
And it's a family-owned place. It's it used to be a farm. They've converted about a quarter of their farm into a caravan park.
Okay.
Set up. And it's a wonderful family there.
Okay.
Very reasonably priced, and lots of hidden little surprises there. That you walk down to the Barron River, which is right next to the park there, and you'll be able to spot platypus in the wild.
Right.
Late at night, or about 7 o'clock at night, they come out and they hand feed the possums and the paddy melons.
Yes.
It's quite a special place.
It's a great little spot. Wow. So, yeah, we took our group up there and we had about a week. And it was just fantastic. And, you know, it's, these getaways and get-togethers have been really great for the group. We've had a lot of members selling up that have been in, you know, had their events for since 2012. And, yeah, I think they've done their travels now. And,
yes.
And, yes.
But the good thing about that is when they're selling up, the new owners, they're telling the new owners
about
our group, and the new owners are virtually
going
straight away into our group with their new van.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, when you say you've got members all over Australia, obviously, not just in Queensland, maybe you should consider maybe having a New South Wales, because I did a thing with the CMCA people. I did a CMCA rally with the people in Tasmania, for example, and they've got what they call chapters. So maybe you should think of expanding. We've got Judy and David running the Queensland one, and Mary and Sue, they're going to run the New South Wales chapter or something. Because 1,600 people, that must be really hard for you to organise, especially when you want to do a tour. How do you find a place large enough? We discussed it before.
Yeah, we don't get that many at our events. Our biggest one so far was Lightning Ridge. We got about 130. Oh, no, actually, we had 130, but the flood stopped about 12. I think we ended up with about 115.
Still a lot of people to organise, though, isn't it?
It is a lot.
In one place. Wow.
It is a lot. But, you know, I've put it out to the group. What we like to do is try and find a venue that will close down for 4 days.
Okay.
And we take over. Wow. And we have bands coming in. We have potluck nights and dress up nights and Dave W's famous bingo
trivia
nights, and we do tours and we get people in the town to come on board and give us some discounts and we get groups going there. So that's how we run. And we do try to get venues in Southeast Queensland, Northern New South Wales.
Okay.
Our next event will be at probably September, October next year.
Right.
Our big event. We're just at the moment, we're waiting for the company to get back on their feet after COVID. I mean, they're doing really well at the moment. They've got control back of their backlog. And they've had some really big challenges, though, with COVID shutdowns and supply issues and staffing issues. But they're pretty much back on track now. And I see with the amount of new group members, new owners coming into the group, that they're probably getting about 2 a week out now, which is all they want to do.
Yeah.
2 to 3 a week.
Okay.
That way they concentrate on making sure the vans are built properly. There's no
high standard.
Yeah. Very good quality build.
That's the thing that impressed me about the RV option, or the option RV, I should say, because I looked at a lot of vans. We spoke about this a year ago, and one of the things that impressed me was the quality of the build and the quality of the finish. I'd rather wait a little bit longer and be the owner of something that I can look at and go, wow, that looks good. Gee, that feels great behind the car. And we took that to hell and back, and it's still holding together, and things haven't fallen off it. You know what I mean? So,
you know, we've had some members that have put their deposits down on a van, gone and bought a second-hand option.
Yes.
And used that until their new one came, and then sold that one off. So, you know, we've just got some fantastic members in the group, and everyone just gets in, helps each other. It's a terrific little group, and, you know, I'm quite happy with the numbers that we've got. I don't know how many are owners or prospective buyers, but even if they're prospective buyers, they all come in asking really great questions. And we're in the What's Up Down Under e-magazine every month under the owners group.
Yes.
And they're a great little magazine as well, and they do an e-magazine once a month. And that goes out to all the caravanning groups on Facebook. So we're actually in that, and they pick something out of our group for the month and add it, little tips or tricks or trips or issues.
Look, the best thing about being in a group, especially if you're new to it, is there are so many nice people that know so much from based on their own personal experiences that they can pass on to new people.
And absolutely.
That's
yeah.
the importance of a group. And if the group is managed well, it's just like being part of a family. That's why I'm thinking 1,600 members. That's, I remember us saying a year ago when you first decided to take on the role of organising the group, you only had like, what, 30 or 40 people or something? Was that
there
right?
It was about 86, I think. 86,
there you go.
And, so as the word got out, that we had a group, all the other groups on Facebook, like a lot of those caravan and camping sites and everything, people were asking what's the best brand caravan. And as the Option RV brand started to get out there, our group started to go forward. And I'm pretty strict with who I allow into the group. I would probably deny half of the people that want to come in because they're from America. Or overseas, you know, they try and come into the group, but I make sure screen the people in the group so that we're safe, we feel safe in the group, that we're not going to get spammed and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah.
When they get so big, if the admins don't have the time to do that or don't do that, it can turn a group pretty sour.
Yeah.
So
how much time, because you're both involved, not just you, Judy, David's involved as well, how much physical time do you think you have to spend to keep this group going and to continue to have it grow each week? Is it a daily thing, or do you just dedicate a few hours each week? Or?
Oh, no, I'm on it nearly every day. I every post that goes up, I read it, I look at it, I like it so that I know that I've seen it, and then I let the group they make their comments, they help each other out. If I get a post or a message to say you'd better check this post, I go through and have a look and sort of, you know, manage it that way. But the members of the group pretty much run it, and they're straight on to me if anything doesn't look right. But every day I check, and as soon as a member wants to come into the group, I get a notification and I go ahead and...
You generally do a weekly welcome to the new members every Sunday night.
Yes, every Sunday we do a big welcome, and I sort of give them the basics of what we're about. And I've got group rules, and I've got featured articles so that they can go through and learn about stuff for themselves.
There's a lot of tips and tricks on our website or Facebook page. If you go to a certain section, it's got topics of help. You know, if you need help, say, regarding possibly an electrical issue or a heater issue or something like that, you can search it. And lots of people get on there with advice.
Just recently, I think Facebook's removed those topics now.
Oh, okay.
But you can actually go to the search bar and you can type in bicycles.
Yes.
People want to put a bike on there.
Oh, bicycle rack on the back or something, yeah.
Any
of
the posts in our group that have mentioned bicycles will come up so you can read through them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can read through the comments from the members. So I'm very happy with the way the group's running. Everybody's pretty good. There's no bullying in the group. Like, nobody has a go at each other about anything. So it's really good.
Yes. And it's a great product. Now, when I spoke to you a year ago, I think you said you had a tornado, if memory serves me correctly. Is that right?
Yes.
You do?
Yep.
Still got that one?
We do. We were going to build a new one. But, you know, we just thought we got everything we need in this van, and the wait list was quite a bit long. So we just decided to stay with it, and it gets us from A to B. If we lived in our van, I think we'd probably want a bigger one.
Maybe a little bit longer, further down the track, we might look at updating our van, but we'll certainly be going with an Option RV.
Without a doubt. Well, I've shifted from caravan to fifth wheeler, and if I ever decide to get out of fifth wheeler, which my other half's on me every day. It's too big. We can't park it. You take me to pick up a loaf of bread. You're driving a truck. I would certainly not look any further than Option RV, that's for sure, because they really are a fabulous van, 100% presentation, you know, and family made.
I find that, you know, you can go to the shows. Well, and I get the feedback in the group. You can go to these shows and all the vans look the same. They got the bathroom down one end. They got the lounge room. They got the bedroom.
Yep.
You know, and everything, most of the components come from the same
suppliers.
Suppliers in Australia. Some come from China. But that's on all vans.
Mm.
And I think it's more the build itself, how it's put together, and the chassis, and your weight distribution, and most important, your after-sales service.
Do you after-sales, yes.
Yes, if I was to buy a van, I wouldn't even look at a company. I wouldn't care how good their van is if it doesn't have good after-sales service.
Yeah.
And the best way you get that is with these groups, because some of these groups, most of these groups have their owners' groups. Some are run by the companies, but ours isn't. Ours is run by the owners.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's the best reference of all, isn't it? Because all you people, there's 1,600 of you, and you've all got your own personal experiences and stories to tell, and the group is growing, and they wouldn't be growing if the product wasn't remaining as good as it's been for all this time. I mean, we can't hold anything against them for being a bit slow to, you know, and getting behind in the build. I mean, COVID just about decimated everybody, and everybody got caught behind, and because you know, they're so diligent, they're not going to just push them through, because then they're just going to be like a lot of other caravans out there, and you're paying top dollar for an option RV. So you want to make sure that it's sent out there for what it's for what it represents itself as, not just a you know, oh gosh, we're getting behind, we better just knock this one out quick, and oh, it doesn't matter if that's not quite straight.
Well, I think all the Victorians were in the same boat, because I think from a conversation that I had with somebody, I can't remember how long ago it was, but I think they said that Melbourne or Victoria was shut down for 280 odd days.
Wow. Yeah,
during COVID,
that's like almost the whole year.
And they just they weren't able to get to work, and of course their workers had gone, and a lot of these workers are older people that decided they've had enough. They're going to buy their own van and travel.
Yeah.
So the work trying to find people to work for you that are experienced, pretty hard.
And obviously in demand, so they could go anywhere. But at the end of the day, they want to be represented by a good company like, you know, Philip and Lynch, it is. Also, you know, a product that's that has such a sensational reputation in the marketplace.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mate, it's been great catching up with you both. I got to meet you. We have to meet you at one of these events, because I would love to be at one of your events, roaming around and talking to a lot of individual people. I mean, you are in charge of the group, which is great, and I'm sure that all the members in the group think you two people are fantastic, the way you've made this group grow and create all the events and keep people interested in travelling together in a mighty big group. But I think to actually go to an event that you guys put on would be sensational.
Absolutely. Well, you might get that opportunity next year, depending. I've got a venue in mind for next year, but I'm just putting it together at the moment. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I know any different dates or when the venue is, we will definitely let you know, and it would be lovely to have you come and join us.
Have you got any ideas as to where it might be, or is it all very hush-hush at the moment?
It's hush-hush for the moment.
Okay. Okay.
Only because I'm not even sure if we're going to be able to get there, and I've got a few places in mind, so I don't want to disappoint anybody.
Okay. I mean, you can tell me, just between you and me, Judy, there's nobody else, a couple of thousand people. No, it's just you.
Well, it might cost you.
Love your sense of humour.
I see that, Phil. There's going to be a couple of music festivals coming up, one at Texas and one at Nananga.
That's right. Now, do you have a lot of country music lovers in your group?
We do.
We do.
We do. So, hopefully we can get a few of our members to that.
Mm. I would love to meet them. I'm doing live shows from both those events. Yes. So if there's anybody... Yeah, and if there's anybody from Option RV that want to come out and say a big cheerio to you guys on the microphones, just let them know. They'll track me down. Yes. There'll be banners flying and flags flying.
Yes, I've been listening to you. I listened to your show last weekend, and you were talking about it all. So that's really good, and I'll definitely let them know that.
We have actually advertised on our page already.
Well, that's excellent, because we do have a family a prize to give away, which for the Texas Country Music Festival, and that is two adults, two children. If you got three, we'll sneak them in somehow. Don't worry. Two adults, two children, and your camp fees are all taken care of. So all you have to do is make your way out there and bring a good attitude and be guaranteed to have a fantastic festival, and it all be on the courtesy of Texas Country Music Festival. At this stage... we are sort of currently are making some phone calls a little bit later on through the week to organise something similar with Nanango. So those festivals which you've already been promoting, 21st to 23rd of September is Texas, 7th to 10th of September is Nanango. Two great festivals, and to go there and you could spend all your money on merchandise instead of having to worry about camp fees. How would that be? Somebody's going to win it, so... It'll be great.
It's a fabulous little place, Texas. I lived there for about 2 years back in the 80s.
Yes, yes. Yeah, well, I've not actually been to Texas. This is going to be new for me. I mean, and I've been to some huge festivals, but I've not been to Texas one. So I think they need
to be an experience.
I can't wait. It's sad that you guys aren't available, because I'd love to catch up with you. I know Dave could organise something on the walk-up stage, maybe do, I don't know, the Macarena or something, and get all the pick up some dust. I mean, Dave's the MC, and I'm sure you'd be signing up new members, and it'll be a great time for all to be had by everyone.
Yeah, it would.
All right, I'm going to have to wind this up. We've gone over my time, but that's all right. I'm in my studio now. I've locked my long-haired assistant producer out. She's banging on the door waving at me, but that's okay. I'm going to wind this up now, guys. I've got to play an Aussie song. It hasn't changed. It's the only thing that's changed is now all Aussie radio, all Aussie content, travel, country music, rock, pop. I've got to play a song for you two. What would you like to hear?
How about an old Aussie classic? Friday on My Mind by the Easy Beat.
Mate, that's a great choice of song, you know what, because there's a lot of people out there that haven't yet retired, like yourself. They're not quite grey nomads yet, but I tell you what, come Friday's always on their mind thinking about how can I make this week go shorter so I can jump in my car and my ute, or jump in my car with my Option RV and get out to some fabulous place and chill out with a bunch of great friends. Yep.
What a life.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Thanks for the catch-up, Phil.
Absolutely. And we will keep in touch, because I want you to tell me all about this secret place that no one's allowed to know.
All right, then.
See if we can't get a few more thousand people out there for you.
I'll have enough.
Well, that's David and Judy from Option RV Caravan Owners Group. Listeners, if you want to find out more about that fabulous product, Option RV, follow them on Facebook. Okay, you got to be a prospective member or interested in buying an Option RV. But hey, if you decide to buy one, you won't be disappointed. I can guarantee you that. Thank you so much for your time today, you guys.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you so much.
We'll be back with more of Ray and Oz straight after Friday on My Mind by the Easy Beats.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better. Even my own man looks good. They just don't go. Thursday goes too slow. I like Friday on my mind. Gonna have fun in the city. Be with my girl, she's so pretty. She looks fine to me.
7th Street Caravans have now moved to a brand new location. 11 Clayton Road, Heatherbrae is where you'll find them. Whether you're looking to sell, trade or upgrade, they'll look after you. Check out their range, Silver Valley, Hurricane, Paramount, Road Trip or their flagship Option RV. They won't be beaten on price, so get yourself a knockout deal today. They're open 6 days a week. Why not give them a call on 02-4987-5288 or check out their website, 7thstreetcaravans.com.au. Hello, listeners. Phil C here. This is Roman Oz, and I have got Mr. Ken Wilson on the lines again from Truck Friendly Caravan Road Safety Program. How are you today, Ken?
Oh, terrific, Phil. It's always beautiful up here in Queensland.
It is. It is perfect one day in Queensland, fabulous the next.
That's right.
Sensational stuff. Thanks so much for you taking the time to be part of the program again with us today. There's a subject that I would really, really love to quiz you on, if you don't mind, and that is, do you feel it's about time that people were expected to do some form of test before jumping into a caravan or a fifth wheeler or pulling a huge horse float or something? Because, you know, so many people I see coming into retirement, they've finished work, they've sold their little Toyota Corolla, bought themselves a big ute, a massive caravan, and they may not really know what they're doing with it. Do you think they should be tested before they're allowed to do this?
It's an interesting subject, and there's people who are very for it and people who are very against it. I'm probably more on the against side.
Okay.
The problem, I don't believe, is licensing. I believe the problem is education.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is, you know, you need a car license, and there's still car accidents. You have a truck license, and there's still truck accidents.
Yes.
A lot of the things that are license-based aren't the existing license categories aren't relevant to towing a heavy pig trailer.
Okay.
Now, a pig trailer is a typical caravan, car trailer, builder's trailer, horse float, and so on and so forth.
Right.
Your truck drivers with the semi trailers, they're a semi trailer or a fifth wheeler type, gooseneck type, and they're a completely different performing trailer.
Yes.
They're far more stable than the typical pig trailer.
Yes.
So with the pig trailer, there's a lot more categories of information and education, et cetera, that need to be brought into it.
Right.
We've not only got the weight, we've got the distribution of the load and so on and so forth.
Yes.
So my argument against a driver's a towing license and is it comes into a few sort of categories, and we've sort of really got to ask all the questions on, you know, who is going to be licensed, how are they going to be licensed,
mm-hmm.
when are they going to be licensed, where are they going to be licensed, and what are they going to be licensed for, what does the license entail?
Right.
So you've got all those issues. Now, keeping in mind that in Australia, we're one country, but we've got six states and two territories who control licensing. Now, currently, the states can't even agree on towing speeds. In Western Australia and New South Wales, they've got different towing speeds for the rest of the country.
Right.
And there's a lot of other rules and regulations that don't transfer from state to state. So basically, you've got to, at the moment, stop on the border and read all the rules and regulations relating to that state, which is a ridiculous, way to operate a country.
It is,
in my opinion. With all the cross-border travel, like, you know, you're down in Tasmania and you've been up in Queensland and all over the place. And, you know, to try and know every individual local law is just ridiculous.
Yes.
So we need something that's on a national level to start with.
Okay.
So I don't think we're going to get the states to introduce it.
No.
If one state did it alone and said, okay, to drive a caravan or a horse float in Queensland, for example, you need a special towing license, then, you know, there's about 750,000 registered RVs, you know, caravans and motorhomes.
Yep.
And caravans are 90% of that.
Mm-hmm.
So then you've all got all the other horse floats and gymkhanas and this sort of stuff. So you're going to end up with tourism the mobile tourists, they're going to just basically ban Queensland, and that's going to be a political and tourism suicide for any state that really introduces it.
Of course.
Because not many people are going to go to the effort of getting a towing licence just to drive in Queensland or holiday elsewhere. So that's one issue. Then who is going to be covered by a towing licence? And you've got, as I said before, you've got your horse floats, your builder's trailers, you've got your car trailers. Now, a lot of car trailers and hire trailers, etc., would also fall into that category.
Of course.
Where they've got mechanical override brakes and that sort of stuff as well. So are they going to be covered by it? So you've got all these sort of other areas that need to be looked at and say, well, are they going to be included or not?
Yes.
How are we going to implement it? Now, you know, is it going to be an online course? Is it going to be a sitting room course? Yes, it's all right to have courses available in the major cities and major population centres, but what about the people out in rural Western Australia and rural New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria, etc.? What's their accessibility going to be to get to this, to do a towing course?
Yep.
So you've got all those sort of things. Then, you know, when does it introduce? So do we just say, okay, well, from the 30th of June this year, you need a towing licence. Now the logistics of getting, and we're talking millions of drivers throughout Australia,
yes,
who would regularly tow a vehicle. You know, how are you going to get all them up to speed and licensed within a certain period of time?
Yeah.
You've also got then where are they going to go and do it? Is it, as I say, is it going to be online? Is it going to be a towing course at a facility? Is it going to be a costly course? What are the fees and charges for it, etc.? So you've got a whole new industry which would be created with people offering to do this course. A lot of the people currently towing caravans, etc., are on fixed incomes. They're, you know, retirees and so on and so forth. You know, they struggle to pay the fuel bill, yet alone sort of an extra license requirement at this stage.
Yeah. Look, I agree with you. I mean, it's definitely comes back to education, and I think it has to come back to the individual themselves. When I first started towing, I mean, I towed a box trailer. I just borrowed my mate's box trailer and I didn't have that much in it. And I found that to be a nightmare because I couldn't even park the blessed thing because, you know, box trailers, you turn the wheel one way, the trailer goes the other. You turn that wheel just that inch, 2 inches too far, and all of a sudden you got a box trailer facing the other way. But when I decided to tow a large caravan, I thought, you know, this is a whole different ball game. It's not like taking a box trailer to the tip. And I want to feel safe and comfortable, and I want to know what my trailer's going to be doing. So I, in fact, did a towing course, and I took my partner with me, and it was the best thing that we ever did because we learnt so much from it. I think it's difficult for some people, just wouldn't be bothered anyway. But at the end of the day, maybe let's say, for example, if you've got a perfect driving license, like my partner's never had a ticket. She's just never been booked for anything. She gets discounts on her license. I don't know if you do in Queensland, but in New South Wales, if you've got a perfect driver's license, when you renew your license, it's cheaper than somebody that's had numerous fines brought up against them. So maybe if they did something like that, like if you do a course and it's accredited, we'll give you a discount on your insurance, or we'll give you a discount on your driver's license or something.
And that's what I'm pushing for. And that's more incentives.
Yes.
As you say, discount on your registration,
yes,
and discount on your insurances, etc., if you've done a recognised towing course.
Of course.
Now, the other thing we need to do is to get a recognised towing course,
yes,
that is recognised, you know, TC 101 or whatever it is, to cover all the things that are needed to tow like a large caravan, horse float, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
But that needs to be recognised as a common course throughout Australia. Now, to my knowledge at the moment, there is a towing course, but it's more aimed for your likes of Ergon Energy and, you know, your electricity suppliers and that, who have people who tow, you know, tow the odd work trailer.
Yep.
But, you know, with going back to my comments before, what type class of vehicle is going to require a towing license?
Yep.
You know, is it 2,000 kilos where you need electric brakes, or is it over 750 kilos where you need override brakes? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or is it some other magical figure picked out of the air?
Mm.
But, yeah, I agree that it should be more incentives.
Yes.
And it should be more readily available. That's why we unsuccessfully applied for funding with the Australian Caravan Club a couple of years ago to do road safety workshop in caravan parks, in caravan club rallies. Mm-hmm. We get numerous requests from caravan clubs, from horse event organisers and stuff, to come and talk about weights and that sort of stuff, but we don't have the funding, so I can't accept those invitations.
No.
New South Wales Police, Queensland Police, they've invited us to go and be at events to answer questions and that sort of stuff. We can't go because we don't have any funding. So it all comes down to funding, whether it be commercial funding, government funding, or some other way.
Mm.
We need to be able to get to the coalface and talk to them direct.
Yes.
I've got, you know, 22,000, almost 23,000 followers on my Facebook page, but they're people who have deliberately clicked on and they're interested in road safety. That's why they are following the page.
Of course.
Whereas the average caravaner at the caravan site, he probably doesn't know about our website.
No.
He probably doesn't know all the different rules and regulations because his mate told him how to do it. You know, and he's been towing for 20 years.
Yes.
The fact that he's been towing it wrong for 20 years is irrelevant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, you get all that type of social media information that's shared that may not be correct.
Yes.
So you're getting education, but it's the wrong education. So we need to be able to get there and answer questions to people and have a look at their individual situations as well, so that we can assist in that way.
Yep.
But it needs funding. We need government funding for education. We need government funding for, you know, to get out there to the coalface.
Yeah. I don't really like your chances. I agree with you 100% that needs to come down to education. People need to be interested enough, and if they're given incentives, maybe they will be. But somebody needs to be out there, like you said, at rallies or you know, various caravan parks where they have a big event where you can go to, where they say, oh, we're going to have 300 caravans at this event. And somebody like yourself goes out there, but obviously you need to be paid for your time. So I don't know how it's going to happen. I fingers crossed that, because we are having accidents every day, aren't we? And the first thing you see on Facebook is somebody has an accident, and then all the keyboard warriors jump on there and said, oh, he was probably speeding. Well, maybe it had absolutely nothing to do with speed.
Yeah.
He just got into a situation that he didn't know how to get out of or how to avoid in the first place. So
that's right. We also, and another thing we also need, you know, if we're going to get onto the education bandwagon, is we need to educate people so they can understand the BS that is told by some of the salespeople selling cars and also caravans. You know, there was reports of two, and they actually happened to be the same model of caravan. Sold, and they had tow ball weights after all the accessories were added, because the salesperson saying, oh, do you want this? Do you want this? And the buyer saying, oh, yeah, I'd love that. Bang, bang, yeah, I can afford that.
Yes.
And not having any education on the physics of it, having those things added to a pig trailer.
Mm.
They end up with a tow ball weight of 450 kilos.
Yes.
Now, that's untowable on the roads.
Mm.
So we need to be able to understand all the BS and work our way through it. I was told by a car salesperson that the Ford Ranger, the curb weight includes the driver and passenger.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, you know, garbage.
Yes.
The curb weight's pretty well the tar weight, just with a full tank of fuel.
Yes.
You know, so there's all this information that's going out. Because they're the salesperson, you tend to believe them.
Yes.
And then you've got all this advertising on TV, on the TV of new vehicles.
Yep.
And you'll see, you know, the latest vehicles. Oh, look, it can tow 3.5 ton, bang. Mm. And they show it towing a big caravan.
Yes.
Without the legally required towing mirrors.
Mm.
So people are looking at this advertising from the top end of town and they're saying, oh, I don't need towing mirrors.
Yeah.
Whereas if that vehicle had towing mirrors on, they might start thinking about it.
Yes.
The fact that some of them, on some of the vehicles, they're an optional extra.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's fine. So why don't they actually add them on? You know, as a sales pitch, but
yep.
they don't want to show their brand new vehicle. We've added extras on to make it legal for towing.
Mm.
So you've got all these issues as well, and you just go through any of the brochures of any of the larger vehicles that are common tow vehicles and have a look at the glossy brochures of them towing a caravan. They don't have towing mirrors on, you know. It's just a simple thing.
Yes.
So, you know, how do you get that education through to people that you, if you cannot see the rear corner of your caravan
yes.
in your mirrors, you are illegal. You are, you know, you're not towing illegally and you can get fined.
Yep.
You need to be able to see the back corner of your trailer
mm-hmm.
through the mirrors.
Okay.
You know, not just down the side.
Not just down the side,
but you need to be able to see right down the full length of the bike comes up on the inside of you, you're not going to see it.
No. Yeah. Interesting.
So, it's a controversial issue, and a lot of the truck drivers, you know, they say, oh, you know, why haven't they got a truck license and all this sort of stuff? Well, I don't know of any education in the truck license that is specific to towing a caravan. Yes, there's some good information in there, and a lot of the truck drivers I have spoken to who are long-distance truck drivers who are now towing a caravan, they'll freely admit that it's a different set of skills for towing a pig trailer
Absolutely.
And towing it safely.
Absolutely, yeah.
The simple things, like there was a couple in North Queensland, two little old ladies killed in a car.
Right.
Driving along the highway, some people in a ute were towing a car trailer, and they'd made the mistake of backing the car onto the trailer instead of driving it on.
Right.
It's a very, very simple mistake, but the end result is the heavy motor is rear of axle.
So
a lot of the weight is rear of axle. The trailer's tail heavy, and as they're driving along the highway, it got trailer sway. It then pushed the ute in front of the oncoming vehicle and two little old ladies killed. A simple mistake.
Yep.
Basic education
yes.
would have told those people, drive the car on the trailer instead yep. of backing it on.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we've established the fact that you don't think people need to have a license, a special license to tow, but in your opinion, there has to be way, way more done in relation to education.
That's correct.
All righty. Ken, thank you so much for your time. We're going to wind this
Thank
one
you,
up
Phil.
Now.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Oh, my yeah. friend, it's always a pleasure having you on, and I'm so glad you've decided to become a regular on the program with us, because the things need to be done and people need to be educated, and hopefully this is another forum for education for people, having people like yourself regularly discussing the subjects. So thank you so much, Ken.
My pleasure. Knowledge is power.
It sure is. And now, how can we wind this one up? You know, now we always play Aussie. Have you got a song for us to wind this section up?
Bit of a Lee Kernaghan fan.
Yes.
I think probably Waiting for a Mate's quite a good one.
Waiting for a Mate from the Back Road Nation album.
That's it. We've all done and been there, done that.
Okay.
He puts it into some good words.
Fantastic.
And, Lee Kernaghan's a great singer.
Fantastic. All right. Thank you so much for your time today, Ken.
Stay safe, Phil. Cheers.
All right, listeners, stick around. We'll be back with more Roaming Oz straight after Lee Kernaghan's Waiting for a Mate.
The fuel gauge is sitting on empty. The battery is flat on the phone. I got a rip in the tank and I'm stuck out on the razorback road. I'm waiting on a mate. Yeah, I'm waiting on a mate. I'm out of range in a table drain, waiting on a mate. Well, Tom lives down by the river. He's got a winch on the front of his ute. Well, till the sun's getting hotter and the water bottle's just about through. I'm waiting on a mate, waiting on a mate. When you crack the head and you strip that thread, waiting on a mate. Waiting on the roadside, waiting by the river, waiting on the sideline, waiting on the weather, waiting for the weekend, waiting for the game, waiting for your bride on your wedding day, waiting on a mate. Smell of the diesel, I haven't seen a soul all day. I saw a bit of dust in the distance, but it blew away. Yeah, I'm waiting on a mate. Yeah, I'm waiting on a mate. I'm flat on my back, up on old goat track, waiting on a mate. When you're up the creek and it's looking bleak, waiting on a mate,
waiting on a mate,
waiting on a mate,
waiting on a mate.
Yeah, I'm waiting on a mate,
waiting on a mate,
waiting on a mate.
Hope you enjoyed the show, listeners.
If you missed any, check out our Facebook page, Spotify, or romanoz.com.au.
Tune in next week for more
Roman Oz.